Sister right here, dear sister right here, works, you know, where's B at? I know B, you know B, right? Yeah. She works in the power zone at the AFES in the BX, and it's good to have her here with a friend. Good to see you guys. Amen. And also, I wanted to give Brother Jonathan a shout out right here. Brother Jonathan was promoted to technical sergeant this week. Amen. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Isaiah chapter 54. This is kind of follow on to what I was sharing a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to get us to a point. I'm really struggling in preparation because I must admit, my mind was completely occupied with the fact that this Wednesday afternoon I'm going to New Orleans, and so. It is a challenge for me, you know, because I've been thinking about the food, you know. That jambalaya and all of that, you know, I've been thinking about it. And so it's been a challenge to keep my mind, to keep myself focused, because I don't know, you know, we like food. That's why I be in the gym, you know. Yeah, we like food. So Isaiah chapter 54, sing, O barren. You who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married. Strange statement. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married. Strange, isn't it? That a person who is impotent could have more children than a person who is not. There's a challenge coming forth to us today out of the Word of God that we cannot think or form conclusions based on what we see, and based on natural information. Because the God that we serve is bigger, greater, more powerful than the natural. And if our focus and our decision making and our dealing with life is based on what we see, we'll never see what he's potentially able to do. And so God challenges us to change the way we think. Yeah. You can't keep thinking the same old way. Yeah. Just because it happened like that 5 years ago doesn't mean it's going to happen like that tomorrow.
Amen.
Just because they were that way 10 years ago doesn't mean they're that way now. Yeah, so I want to encourage us this morning. And so keep on reading. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let... Oh, my Bible's all messed up. And let... Can somebody read verse 2 for me? Read verse 2, Joe.
Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stake.
Okay. And in verse 3 it says, for you shall expand on the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be put to shame, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. I want to talk to you. I'm going to emphasize something here. It says, stretch out your tent pegs, enlarge your space. I want to talk to you about stretching, because stretching is painful. But I want to say it produces power. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to help me to declare your goodness this morning, to declare what you have potentially for each and every one of us, that as we look to you and allow you to stretch our thinking, to stretch the way we perceive things, and you can fill the space that you create with something you intended for our lives. In Jesus' name. Now, often we can understand that, have an understanding that is not really about Scripture, that is not really founded or does not have the right basis. Often we could look at Scripture or we could hear in Christian circles certain things that give us a foundation that's not actually right. For instance, a lot of times we hear the context that salvation is free. And that's not quite true. And so because we have this understanding that salvation is free, we could at times treat it without the value that it is presented to us in. Because salvation is not actually free. Because if you're really saved, you'll have already found out it costs your life. Just like it cost the life of Jesus, if you really are saved, it would have cost you something. And so the text says, in Luke 14:26, it says, you don't have to turn, but I'll read it to you. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And he's saying there has to be a mindset that says everything else in my life is secondary to him. And it will cost you the positioning of things in your life and will cause you to reposition things that are in your life because he has introduced himself in the place that you had everything else. And he will move those things out of his way so that he can be to you what he intends to be to you. And the only way that can happen is it got to cost you something. It's got to cost you something. It'll cost relationships. It'll cost friendships. And I'm not saying he does that intentionally. It has to happen because God has to be Lord. There's the old saying that they said, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. So he challenges us like that. Our thinking. It says also, that when we have this kind of attitude, when we are allowing him to cause us to change our thinking. See, like last couple of weeks ago, I'm talking to you like a father this morning. I'm not preaching at you. I want to talk to you. Because I've been doing this, me and Miss Lisa have been doing this for a lot of years. And we learned a lot of stuff. We're still learning. You never get to the point where you don't learn anymore. If you don't learn, you're at a point where you're going to stop and no longer produce the fruit of life that God wants you to produce. Because we need to continually learn. We need to know more about Jesus. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Because it's your knowledge of him that gives you wisdom. And it's your wisdom of him that gives you access. Matthew 16 tells me that when Peter acknowledged who Jesus was, Jesus gave him keys to the kingdom of heaven. And beloved, we need keys that give us access to stuff that we don't have access to. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? We need that. And God wants to help us. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't have access to, you know what I'm saying? It's not everything is a blessing. Sometimes it's just life. You know, when you have this constant thing that comes into your life on a regular basis and your response is always the same, you need a key to stop that. You hear what I'm saying to you? And when you learn about Jesus and you get an understanding about him, he gives you the ability to overcome things that once were a problem from you. Get wisdom and you get access. There was a time when if you put cocaine under my nose, I'd run to it. But beloved, I'm glad to say that today he gave me keys. And I have access to something that enables me to push past the stuff that limited me before. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And he wants to do that for us. Sometimes we're afraid of people because of even their gifts, Sister Lisa. Because a certain person is gifted in a certain area, sometimes that gift threatens us. But we need keys that gives us access to or cause us to not be afraid of the abilities of somebody else. But count those abilities as a blessing. Come on, somebody in this place. It's time to get real, amen?
Amen.
Challenging, isn't it? Challenge me. God challenged me with this. He kind of slapped me around, you know what I mean? Listen. So this is what it says in Matthew chapter 19. And everyone who has been given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers. See, when we give it up, God replaces it. He says, everyone that gives up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property, for my sake, I will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. He says, whatever you give up, I'm going to bless you with 100 times more. So if you have to give up a relationship, if you do the math and you give up one relationship, he's going to give you 100 more relationships that are more profitable than your life than the one was. Somebody ought to scream right there. Somebody needs to scream and say, I got it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to scream. You lose one, you get 100. I think that's good math. What do you think? I think that's a benefit, you know. Okay. And it says, he wants us to change our mindset so we no longer depend upon the obvious. You know, we form conclusions and based on what people say, based on what we see. How many of you know that just because somebody says something, it doesn't mean it's going to happen? Just because somebody says something, it doesn't mean that's who they really are on the inside. You hear what I'm saying to you? Because we form conclusions. Oh, she said this to me. I can't stand her. And yet that person inside is breaking. And it's not really reflecting the real reality of what's inside of her, but it's trying, or him, and trying to put on something else from the outside. But beloved, if we have wisdom and we have access, I don't have to worry about what they say or what they do. I'll be able to see it for myself. Are you? For me, you know, over the years, I used to respond to a lot of stuff when people do things that offend me. I used to respond quickly. And I used to, the wrath of God. What? You talking to me? It's time to scrap. But now, I just wait. Because if God knows what's going on, and can I say this to you, and I know I don't want it to become cliche, and I want it to become just a word, but God knows what's going on, and if he knows what's going on, he could tell you. Really, it's just that simple, for me anyway. I sit here, and sometimes I sit, and God, sometimes he says stuff to me, and I look at people, and I say, God, I can't say that to them. Ain't you going to say it? No, I can't say that to them. I say, well, how are you going to benefit them unless you tell them what I'm telling you to tell them? It's up to a person whether they take it or be offended by it. But you know, how can you tell? How do you know if somebody's telling you something and they're telling you to you in love? First of all, usually if somebody tells you something in love, it hurts. It ain't going to feel good. But that just shows you that they care about you, because most people who don't will tell you something to flatter you when you're wrong. I'm talking to you like a father. That's why when people, they talk to me and say certain things to me, I'm like, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're marvelous. You're so good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for the encouragement. But when it's something to do with, a lot of times people say what they say or trying to say to you because they're trying to position themselves or get something from you. And they're not necessarily telling you the truth. But when a person loves you, they'll sit to you and look you in the eye and say, look, brother, sister, I don't want to hurt you, but. And you know it's right because, you know, our response, because of our response. Okay.
So God wants to wean us. He wants to change our mindset so we no longer depend upon the obvious, so that we don't form conclusions based on feelings. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. And he wants to wean us from the mindset and develop us, do things in our lives that develop us. And he wants to increase our capacity. Remember in Philippians 4, he said, the apostle said, I have learned in whatever state I am how to abound and how to be abased. I have learned. So in other words, he's saying it doesn't matter whether it was good or whether it was bad. There was something in it for me to learn. And so a lot of times we view difficult situations in our lives as something from the devil. Yeah? Ain't that right? We view things that are difficult in our lives as something from the devil, or something intended to stop us, or something intended to hurt us. But the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am, I have learned something, whether I'm abounding or growing, and whether I'm losing, and things are being detracted from me. I have learned that I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't matter. It doesn't tell me what I can't or can't do. It is an opportunity for me to show who God really is, even in the difficult times. Just because it's bad outside, that doesn't change. Just because it's a bad situation, it doesn't change who God is in me. Okay. Let me hurry up.
You're all over here looking strange.
So, the apostle, he's talking in generalities, and he's saying it, that whether it's bad or whether it's good. What's up, homie? Whether it's bad or whether it's good, it doesn't matter. It's who's in you. Who is in you that makes the difference in your circumstances? So we learn. He says, I have learned to abound and I learned to be abased. In other words, he's saying there's going to be a difficult time. Now, in that process, we know there's got to be some pain. All right? In that process, we know there's got to be some pain. We got him trapped now. Yeah, he can't go nowhere now. Yeah. See, we got to outthink the kids. Yeah. They can't get us. They plotting. We got to outplot them. And so, we understand that there's a process. I have learned to abound and I've learned to be abased. And there's pain in that. You know, when we go to the gym, we expect to have pain, because when you lift, when lift weights or whatever, what you're doing is you're tearing muscle. And when you tear the muscle, the recovery stage is that your muscle heals, but when it heals, it's stronger than it was before it was torn. And God is speaking to the children of Israel, the prophet is, in Isaiah 54, and he's talking to them because they're about to go through a very difficult time being held captive by the Babylonians. And he tells them, I'm going to speak to you, and I want you to do something that's completely conflicting to what you should be doing. And he says, I want you to sing. Although you are in a bath, I want you to sing. And so we know how to come to church and we know how to lift up our voice in praise. But what about when we're alone and we feel all by ourselves? And instead of singing, we complain. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm saying. Because we come and we sit at home and we mull over stuff and it's like, why? Isn't that a normal word that we use? Why? Why? Sound like Tom Jones. Why, Delilah? But the thing is that he's saying, I want you to get a mindset. It's not just ignoring your situation. He's not asking you to ignore your situation. He is asking you to recant what he's done before. Because this particular text is referring to Sarah. He's talking to the children of Israel about their matriarch Sarah. And when she was barren at 100 and some odd years old, she bears children. And what he's saying to them, I don't care what your circumstances, sing. I don't care what the problem is, sing. Then he tells them, I want you to stretch. Stretch it. Stretch out the place of your dwelling. In other words, the place of your influence, the place of where you live, where you dwell. Stretch out. I want you to increase your capacity. So what does that mean? Me and Miss Lisa get in an argument about something, and it's not a good thing. You know, we just get into an argument about something. And what he's saying is, the next time you are confronted by an issue, you should not be doing the same thing you did before. My capacity should come to a place where I have increased myself, my capacity to do something different. You know, the biggest sign of insanity is doing the same thing all the time and expecting different results. Now, why would I keep doing the same thing if it didn't work the last time? Something has to change, right? And he's asking us to change my mindset. And the reason why he's asking me to change my mindset is he's enabling me to change my mindset. You know what changes you more than anything else? We did a little bit of it this morning. How you sing changes what's inside of you. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you come into his presence on a regular basis, you find things changing. Now, and if there's going to be a change on the outside, where does the change have to begin first? On the inside. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. If it's not working in you, it's not going to work outside. But when it works in, it works outside. Okay, here I'm going to get ready to close. I skipped over a lot of stuff because I think I said enough. It's getting late. But I want to focus on something very quickly. Firstly, I want to say we have to stretch. He says we need to stretch our tent pegs. And to stretch, we have to make an admission to ourselves. According to what the scripture says to the children of Israel, they had to make an admission to themselves that what they had was not enough to receive what God wanted to do. So he says, lengthen your tent pegs. Increase your capacity. So if I'm okay, I have to think, see, my mindset has to be a mindset of change. Like the Apostle Paul, I have learned in whatever state I have to keep pushing towards change. If I'm not pushing towards change, I'm saying I'm okay. And what God wants to do in me is enough. I have enough to receive what he wants to do. But he says, I need you to lengthen your tent pegs. In other words, I have to understand I need to be more to receive more. Are you hearing me? Because your capacity, your ability to do what God wants you to do is determined by your capacity for him. It's determined by your capacity for him. We have to admit that. They say, and so we have to admit that I need more. I need more of God. I need him to do something in me. I need him to change me. I need him to conform me. I need him to challenge me. I need him to push me beyond the things that limit me. I need to be stretched. Stretch me. Stretch. Tomorrow I'll be doing some stretching in the gym. I don't do that kind of stretching. No, I don't do that kind of stretching.
It's the weight stretching that I do. I can't do the other stretching. It hurts too much. But even in that, we need to learn to stretch what does hurt in every aspect of our lives. Our thinking, our actions. See, if I see it looks more, if it, see it doesn't look like Jesus. If I see a particular action or a particular convert, a way I communicate or the way I deal with people, if it doesn't look like Jesus, I should be allowing him to stretch me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh boy, I know y'all ain't liking it now, but that's okay. You're going to like it a couple years from now when you go through some stuff and you see what I'm talking about is real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will. See, I've been there, done that. And even, like me and Miss Lisa, this December, 40 years. 41 years, I'm sorry. Woo, Lord have mercy. I almost messed up right there. 41 years this December, right? But our relationship is the way it is because we were stretched in areas of our lives. We're challenged to change. So we had to increase, and we not increase our capacity for God. If we have not opened our lives to God to increase our capacity for him, we probably wouldn't be together. And see, what I'm trying to get you to understand is in every aspect of your life, when you increase your capacity for God, it affects every area of your life.
Amen.
And that's what we want, right? If you personally had an increased capacity, guess how it affects this church? The capacity of the church. If every one of us began to increase our capacity for God, the capacity of the church increases, we affect our community, lives are changed, prosperity is brought to the land, and God is glorified. Come on. Okay, I'm going to hurry up. I said I wasn't going to do that. Secondly, it says that they spared not. They spared not. He said, I want you to stretch and spare nothing. I want you to go everywhere. I want you to look for every opportunity to increase your capacity. Every opportunity. I don't want you to leave anything, no stone unturned. I want you to look everywhere to increase your capacity. Yes?
Yeah.
Everywhere. God's challenged me. Can I just tell y'all the other day? See, we getting ready to go on vacation. I have one room. Y'all know about my room. My one room where it all just goes everywhere. Well, I was sitting down working on this word and God said to me, Vince, I want you to put that down. I said, why? I'm trying to do your work, Lord. You know how we get spiritual. I'm doing your work, Lord. I'm doing it for you. He said, no, I want you to go in that room, fold up them clothes, and start packing your suitcase. I said, God, that what does that have to do with the Spirit of the Lord, and what does it have to do with the power of the resurrection? God said, look, unless you start being attentive to the small things, I can't be attentive to the big things in your life.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, what did I do? I went in there and started folding up my clothes and packing my suitcase. That's good. My suitcase is packed. Mikey, my suitcase is packed, baby. This is my son-in-law right here. My suitcase is packed, baby. Yeah, yeah. A first for me. It's a first for me. I normally I'm up till midnight the night before packing my suitcase. Okay, thirdly. See, if we do what God asks us to do,
He will do what we cannot do. If we do what he asks us to do, which means to lengthen out, do all of that, the prophets say, if we change the way we think, all of that, we do what's necessary, he will do the things that you can't do. When children of Israel were told to go up into the upper room and be there and wait for the promise, they were obedient to do what God asked them to do. They could not pour the Holy Spirit on themselves. They could not enable themselves to communicate the gospel with power to people who don't know him. But they needed God to do what only he can do in their lives. And when they were obedient, they went upstairs. And some translations said that when they were upstairs, where they were getting things right with one another that had fallen out of connection. And beloved, can I tell you that there needs to be unity in the body of Christ more now than ever before? There has got to be a unity. People have got to be allowed to be who they are in Christ. When I start trying to limit Sister Lisa because I'm afraid of what she's capable of doing, I limit the possibilities of what God can do in the body of Christ. But when I am free with her and allow her to be who she is, the Bible says God poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost and people were filled with power. Amen. And you, if you notice it, on that day, I'm going to get ready to close. I know you're bored. That's okay. He poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says that everyone spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And what you read in Acts chapter 2 is everybody heard the gospel in his own language. So in other words, those disciples, 120 people, were enabled to speak or do something they were not able to do before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So much so that even they, though they lacked the knowledge of the languages, God still equipped them to speak the language. Oh, come on. So, somebody needs to hear this. And some of us pay a lot of attention on our lack of equipment instead of our need of God. And when we get a hold of God, he will enable us to do stuff. I don't know about you, but I've always preached and always talked about I want to go to a co-op supermarket, see somebody in a wheelchair, somebody hobbling along, and God speaks to me, and I touch them, and their lives are changed. I want to go to wherever it is that there's a need, wherever it is there's broken lives, and I want to be able to speak into the situation and see things change. Not because I want to be glorified or I want to demonstrate my gift, but I want Jesus to be made famous. And that's what it's about. That's what it's really about. We're increasing our capacity for that to happen. And it doesn't feel comfortable. I don't know of anybody that's going, you know, I go to the gym. When I first went back to the gym and I came away the next morning, I wasn't sitting there talking, oh, that feels so good. Man, yeah, I love this feeling here. I just feel good. Look at that. Oh, boy, that muscle's so tight and it's in pain. I didn't talk like that. Now, I don't know anybody who's going through a painful situation who sits there and says, ah, yeah, this is great. Yeah, no, it hurts. But I guarantee you, if you go through the pain, your capacity, come on, will be bigger than it was beforehand. Yeah, well, and that's what we need. I know it hurts, and I know it's painful. Man, me and Miss Lisa going through some painful stuff over the years. We had people tell us what? Why you? Y'all ain't doing nothing in that church. That church is garbage. This is losing. Yeah, ain't no love in that church. Ain't no people. Ain't nothing. You never be anything. Our people hurt us, but we never fought back. We never retaliated because we knew if we took the pain, if we accepted and humbled ourselves before God, God will take care of it. And beloved, when people come to this church now, I'm so happy that the first thing they say is, I feel the love of God in this house. That's what matters. Oh, Shabbat, Bebonda. Let me calm down. Got me speaking in tongues and stuff. All right, let me, I'm going to close. He said, the final thing he says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. neither be disgraced. You know what's disgraceful and you know what's a shame? Is when nothing ever happens for you spiritually because you really never made a commitment. And then don't we always say, I wish I would have given more. Never let it become a possibility for you and me. We give as much to God. Listen, he gave everything. How many of you realize how much God gave? How much you realize? If you do, let me tell you something. Because you know how much he gave? You know how much he gave? The Bible says that he looked around in heaven and couldn't find nobody. And then he saw a lamb that as if it had been slain. Right? So Jesus, we know, was the lamb. So when he found him, he gave the lamb. So you know what it speaks of? Because of the Old Testament types and what is responsible, the lamb and the sacrifice. You know what it speaks of? God gave the best that heaven had to offer. Amen. He left no stone unturned looking for the best that heaven had to offer. And when he could find nobody, he knew the only one he could give was himself. Glory be to God. And he gave Jesus in our behalf because he gave all of what heaven had, everything heaven had, he gave in the person of Jesus. And sometimes what we give back to him will never measure up to what he gave, but we can try. We can try to give our best back because he gave everything for us. Beloved, let me tell you something. When I made a commitment to Jesus 31 years ago, I was grateful that he set me free from alcoholism. I was grateful that he set me free from cocaine addiction. I was grateful that he healed my marriage. And beloved, because of that, I'm giving him everything I have. Everything. I'm holding nothing back. And beloved, that's what we should be like. Give it all. Him, you'll feel better in the morning.
Ain't that right, Miss Lisa?
Amen.
Yeah, we all right, Jill. Jill, we're cool, girl. You know the Bible says, Jill, you're something else, girl. when the Bible says that. We don't put new wine in old wineskins. See, the skin has to be pliable, has to be willing to stretch in order for something new to come into it. Yeah? And if we begin the process of allowing ourselves to be stretched, the promise is, how many of you want something new in your life?
Yes, amen.
If you want something new and you don't mind being stretched, can I invite you just to stand where you are? Yeah. Glory be to God. God, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the people standing. So many people realizing that they need to be stretched and they need more in their lives. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill them. Stretch them, but fill them. Father, your word says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
Fill them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Fill them, God, right now, in Jesus' name. Let them experience something fresh and new that they never knew was possible. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Now I want you to just give God some. See, I know part of us are American and some of us are British, but we got a lot of decorum up in here. You know what decorum is, right? We don't like to go too overboard. You know, we want it to be, oh yes, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, if you were hanging over a precipice right now, and suddenly somebody came and lifted you up from that precipice, I guarantee you, your noise would be a lot more impactful.
Amen.
But yet, that's exactly what God told me we're doing today. Some of us are hanging over a precipice, but you're not there no more. He's got you in the palm of his hand. Come on.